wonder as I wander out under the sky, how Jesus the Savior did come for to die for poor ornery people like you and like I. I wonder as I wander out under the sky. When Mary birthed Jesus, 'twas in a cow stall, with wise men and farmers and shepherds and all. And high from God's heaven a star's light did fall, and the promise of the ages it then did recall. If Jesus had wanted for any wee thing, a star on the sky or a bird on the wing, or for all of God's angels in heaven for to sing, he surely could have had it, for he was the King. I wonder as I wander out under the sky, how Jesus, the Savior, did come for to die for poor ornery people like you and like I. I wonder as I wander out under the sky.
We'll be reading responsively from John chapter 1. I'll read the light print, you read the dark on the screen behind me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made.
In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it.
There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light.
That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world.
He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him.
But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believed in his
who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
I'm reading from the book of Micah, chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth are from old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace.
God's word to Isaiah chapter 9 verses 2, 6, and 7, and chapter 7 verses 14. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from the time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Thank you. be reading from Luke 1, verses 26 through 33. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end."
Reading Luke 2, verses 1 through 7. "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Cyrenius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn."
Thank you. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them.
reading from Lamentations 3:25 and 26 and Luke 2:25 through 32. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought the child, Jesus, to do to him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.
There is a yearning.
from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him: gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
1 John 4:9-10. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And then Philippians 2:5-11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Our 10th lesson is from Colossians chapter 1. Let us read this passage responsively. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light.
He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood.
He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers.
All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things.
And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell.
Thanks to the choir, musicians, and all who have labored to minister to us tonight and to bring glory to the Lord of Heaven. True story. I have read it a number of times. I'm quite sure that it is true. It was Christmas Eve during World War I. Two opposing armies were firing at one another across no man's land. And then something happened which took everyone by surprise. In one trench, men began to sing Silent Night, Holy Night, All is Calm, All is Bright. And on the other side, the opposing army began to sing O Little Town of Bethlehem, How Still We See Thee Lie. Cannons ceased their booming. The spirit of peace became all pervasive. It reigned in the midst of that carnage. And for a short time, foes became friends. That incident is no doubt prophetic of the wondrous day when Jesus, the Prince of Peace, will return to our war-torn, sin-sodden world as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Then prophecy will become history. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. The heart cry of God's children around the world is this: even so come, Lord Jesus. There's no question that in the heart of every man and woman there is a longing for peace. There's also no question that because of the sinfulness that resides in the heart of every one of us, that this peace turns out to be impossible and will be impossible until Jesus Christ himself intervenes. But what exactly is this peace that men long for, desire, need, and will, by the grace of God, experience? And I think it comes to us in four different aspects. There's first of all the peace of divine satisfaction. That is to say, there can be no peace in the hearts of men and women until our warfare with God Almighty has been subdued. The Bible tells us that men and women are at enmity with God. That means because of the sinfulness of our hearts, we are in rebellion against our Creator. The commands that He has given us to live according to His righteous and perfect rule, we disregard and sometimes even flagrantly, deliberately, and willfully disobey as we shake, as it were, our fist in the face of our Creator and say, we will not have this one to rule over us. But because of man's condition, and in spite of man's condition, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God took the initiative. We were not seeking God, but God in His grace and love came seeking us. And Christ is the one who provides the peace of divine satisfaction. Because the only way to make peace with God is to deal with our sins. The only way to deal with sins with a holy God is for them to be justly paid for. And the only way that we could pay for them is by being banished from God for eternity in the place of judgment, the eternal lake of fire. But Jesus Christ, God's Son, Jesus Christ, God, came in the flesh. And born in a virgin's womb, He lived a perfect and sinless life upon the earth. He kept all the law of God perfectly. He obeyed every instruction that His Heavenly Father gave, every instruction that God has given to us. He came to do God's will, and He did it perfectly. And then, having earned a perfect righteousness, He went to the cross and laid down His life as a payment in the place of the sinner's just payment. That which we deserve to pay, He took upon Himself. And in that mysterious transaction which only God could do, those who trust in Jesus have a double imputation that takes place. God takes the perfect righteousness of His Son, and He places it upon the account of every believing sinner. God takes the penalty that Jesus Christ bore upon the cross, and He counts that judgment as paid in full for the account of everyone who trusts in Jesus. And so in this way, the peace of divine satisfaction is made. Divine justice is satisfied. God becomes both just and justifier of all who trust in Jesus. This is the basis of peace. But there is not only the work of Jesus Christ, the peace of divine satisfaction, but there's the peace of personal capitulation. The peace that every one of us must come to by laying down our arms of rebellion, by surrendering to our rightful ruler, by acknowledging our sinfulness and crying out to God for mercy, repenting of our sins and declaring to Him a desire that in His mercy He take those sins from us, and by willingly coming under the rule of Jesus Christ, the rightful King, the one who came to sit upon the throne of His father David, and to rule in righteousness in heaven forever and forever. And to surrender to Him and say, Lord Jesus Christ, I come under Your rule. I submit myself to Your domain. I gladly become one of Your subjects. I want to dwell in Your kingdom. And in God's mercy, He takes every believing sinner who comes to Him in that way. And the peace of personal capitulation is what brings us into the realm of God's kingdom. But thirdly, there is the peace of practical application. We read in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." An inward peace. The turmoil is over. The tension is gone. The rebellion against our Creator has been subdued by the blood of the cross. And now there is that inward peace that fills the souls of those who trust in Jesus. The application of what Christ did upon the cross, not only to our record in heaven, which is first and foremost, for there we must be justified before the judgment bar of God, but now the practical application of that which invades our hearts and allows us to live at peace, to be done with our turmoil, to be at peace with God, and therefore to be at peace with ourselves, and to have the basis by which to be at peace with our neighbor and to no longer be warring against those around us. This too is the peace for which men long. And this too is the peace which is impossible to achieve apart from the divine work of God, His grace at work in our souls, bringing us to this peace of God, which surpasses all understanding and will guard the hearts of those who trust in Him. But there is finally the peace of righteous administration, and that is yet to come. This peace that will pervade this world when Jesus Christ returns to take up in this domain His righteous rule. When the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who now rules upon the throne in heaven at the right hand of His Father, comes to earth, subdues all rebellion, all remaining rebellion, all rebellion of those who were unwilling to capitulate to Him, they will be subdued. They will be banished, and righteousness shall cover the earth as the waters cover the seas. And then will be fulfilled that longing. Then will be that day when men will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks and their cannons into instruments of welfare, of well-being and production. And then, forever and forever and forever, the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ will saturate this earth and will maintain a perfect peace, the peace of righteous administration. These four aspects of peace, dear friends, represent the peace of Christmas. The peace that comes because God gave His Son. The peace that is possible because a babe in a manger went to the cross. A peace that is certain because the one who died on the cross rose again from the grave and is coming again to rule and to reign. The peace that you can experience if you will lay down your warfare against King Jesus and surrender your heart to Him in faith, believing. Heavenly Father, bring this peace into the heart of everyone who has gathered here today, that we may know that wonderful peace which Jesus brings. We pray in His name. Amen.